Okay, good evening, everyone. This is the fifth of the Halukas that we're going to do tonight in our series. Just public service announcement, next week we're not going to be meeting, and we'll be off for Hanukkah, and then we'll meet two more times afterwards. Because this is the fifth and the final of the Halukas, of the five Halukas we say after Ashrei, I just want to clarify the halacha regarding which is more important when a person is late to davening. And as the Chavetz Chaim writes in the beginning of Simnun Beis, L'chadchila roi lo beis haknesses pashkama. Really, you should come to davening on time. Meaning, this is all if you don't come to davening on time. But if you don't come to davening on time, so the Shulchan Aruch says, in bo lo beis haknesses, v'nimtza tzibur besot psukat izimra, you find that you are behind the tzibur, omer baruch shamar ad mehulah v'tishvachos, meaning you say baruch shamar, v'achakach tehilah l'David, and then you should say, Tilala David is what we call Asher. The sources over there, and you probably need a sitter also. And then you say until Me'atavi Adalam Haluka, which is to the end of Ashrei. V'achakach. Then he says you should say Haluas Hashem Min Hashemayim, which is the third Haluka. Ad Livnei Yisrael Mekrovo Haluka. V'achakach Halua Kal B'Kadsho. Ad Kol Neshama, which is the fifth Haluka. So the preference, if a person is late, is to say the third and the fifth Halukas. Those are considered more significant than the other three. So that's just the halacha as applied to the things that we've learned so far. This is the Shulchan Aruch is bringing down based on the Hagos Maimoni in the name of the Sefer HaTruma. And this is the understanding of the Rishonim, of the preference of which Haluka is more preferable. So three and five is said before, if one is limited on time, before one, two, and four. Okay, so let's learn the last Haluka. It is the shortest of them, and it is probably one of the most interesting. The theme of this Haluka is the idea to be, it is the most inclusive and the most exalted of all praises, which we'll talk about in the last line. There's source sheets over there. So let's just begin with a quick introduction. Besides being the closing perek of the five Halukas, it's also the conclusion of all Sefer Tehillim. It's the last perek in Tehillim. And if so, clearly there must be an idea in this very small chapter that represents and speaks to what all of Sefer Tehillim is about, which hopefully we'll explain at the end. In addition, the halacha, in halacha, as we just said before, this perek is very important. And the Shulchan Aruch already clarified for us that this perek has precedence over the other prakim when it comes to a person being short on time. Now, the Al-Sheikh writes in his Perek on Tehillim that this mizmor contains all of the shiros of the neshamos of tzaddikim. What does that mean? I'm not sure. It sounds pretty significant, according to the Al-Sheikh. And the Al-Sheikh says that's higher than the praises of malachim. The praises that come from the neshama of a tzaddik, says the Al-Sheikh, are on a higher level than the praises of the Malachim. The last prakim were about the praises of the Malachim. This parak is about the praises of Tzaddikim that comes from the Neshama. Now, how significant is this parak in Judaism? Well, the Yerushalmi in Masechas Bikurim, in the beginning of Parak Gimel, says that this chapter of Tehillim, the 150 chapters of Tehillim, is so important that it was recited by the people who would bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. B'derech HaYomrim, when you were traveling to Yerushalayim, they would recite chapter 122, Samachti ba'omrim li beis Hashem ne'elech, I rejoice as I go towards the house of Hashem. B'Yerushalayim, but when they arrived in the city of Yerushalayim, HaYomrim, Omdos hayu raglenu b'sharech Yerushalayim, u'bahar habayis HaOmrim, but once they arrived at the Temple Mount, those bring the Bikurim would say, Hallelujah, Halukel b'kodsho, in the Azara, when they arrived inside the Beis HaMikdash, Hayomrim kol neshama tahaluka haluka. So clearly, this chapter is very, very important in the eyes of Chazal, in the eyes of the Torah, in the eyes of the Chachamim, that they enacted that this parak be recited when bringing Bikurim into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, there is a disagreement amongst the Mefarshim about how many hilulim, how many praises are in this mizmor. Now, most Mefarshim count 10. Let's go through them together. Halu kel b'kadsho, halu birkiuzo, halu b'gvurosav, Halu Kerov Godlo, Halu Baseka Shofar, Halu Beneva Vachinor, Halu Besofu Machal, Halu Beminim Ugov, Halu Besilse Shema, and Halu Besilse Surua. 10 times, 10 different praises that are offered in this parak. What's the significance of the 10 praises? Well, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says it's for this reason why we recite 10 psukim, 10 verses for each of the sections of Malchios, Zechronos, and Shofros on Rosh Hashanah, right? We know we always have 10 verses from Tanakh, 3, 3, and 4. So the Gemara says, Hani Asara Malchios Keneged Me, the 10 verses of Malchios. Why 10? Amar Rebbe Keneged Asara Hilulim Shamar David B'Sefer Tehillim. Because there's something special about the 10 times that David says, Haleluka, Halululim Tuva Havu. There's a lot. Hanacha Tichsiv Halu B'Seka Shofar. Ah. But because in our parak it says Halu B'Seka Shofar, Halu praise Hashem with the sounding of the shofar, and it's Rosh Hashanah, and the davening talks about shofros, so therefore we take 10 psukim to correspond to the 10 praises. The Chida writes in the Chumash Tanach, in his Sefer on Tanach, he cites B'Shem the Arizal. Rabbeinu HaArizal Remez Kan Eser Sfiros. The Arizal saw a reference to the 10 Sfiros of Kabbalah. Halu Kel B'Kodsho Keser, Halu Birkuzo is Chachma, the next one is Bina, the next one is Chesed, the next one is Gvura, the next one is Teferis, the next one is Netzach, the next one is Hod, the next one is Yesod, and the last one is Malchus. So the Arizal sees even deeper ideas beneath the surface with these 10 praises and the representation of 10. However, the Shiboli HaLeket, one of the great Rishonim, so he writes, and this is cited by the Beis Yosef, and he actually brings one of the reasons why do we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, right? Generally, the mitzvah of saying Hallel is for what? Because Hashem saved us, where we were saved in some form, and we say Hallel. That's why we say Hallel on the Yom Tovim, we say Hallel Hashem. Where did the idea come from? Why did it occur to anybody to start the meaning of saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? So listen to what the Shiboli HaLeket says. Umash anu korim hal b'Rosh Chodesh. That which we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Matzasi l'Gaonim Zatzal. I saw from the Gaonim. Doesn't say where, but he saw something from the period of the Gaonim. Minayin shomer hal b'Rosh Chodesh. What is the source why we would say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? Matsino Sharomas Sharomzu David Batilim. Because David says until him, Halluya Halu Kel Bekadsho. Yud Beis Pa'amim Halu. In fact, if you count until him, it says 10 times the Shoresh, 12 times the Shoresh Halel in our Perek, Keneged the 12 months. Umashma Halu Kel Bekadsho Al Kiddush HaChodesh Halluya. Lefichach Anu Koflin Kol Neshamat Al Neshana Muberes. And we say Kol Neshamat Al Ka, Kol Neshamat Al Ka twice, to make up for a Shana Muberes, a leap year. So this is actually an interesting source that many people are not aware of. The remez, the hint to saying Hallel Rosh Chodesh, because there are 12 times Hallel in this finishing parak of Tehillim. And because 12 corresponds to the 12 months, that's why the minhag developed to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. The 13th, he says, is the repetition. The Tshuvas Divrei Yatziv, the Tshuvas of the Kloisenberger Rebbe. So he writes that the tour that he saw, the tour, the printed tour of his altar Zayde, the Yismach Moshe, and he saw in a note that he hand wrote on his grandfather's edition of the Arba Turim that the first Halukah corresponds to Nisan and the Halukah Beseka Shofar corresponds to Elul. And the Yismach Moshe showed how each Hallel represented in this final chapter of Tehillim corresponded to the correct month of the year. And he wrote out how everything made sense. Okay, now the Radak says that the 13 Hilulim, the third time, 13 times Hallel, corresponds to the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy. And the Sefer Avnei Shoam argues that the Hillel of Kol HaNeshama corresponds to Olam Haba, and really the 10, the Gemara only counts the ones that correspond to Olam Hazeh, as all things in Kabbalah. Rosh Schwab writes in Rosh Schwab on prayer that the Mizmor of Halu Es Hashem in Hashemayim has 8 times Hallel. If you go back to the third Halukah, there's 8 times Hallel, and this corresponds to the instrument that David used that had 8 strings on it. However, Halu Kel B'Kodsho, our parak we're discussing tonight, has 10 times 10 praises or Hallel, right? Because in the future, the Gemara says in Erchin that David's, that the the musical instrument that will be used to play the songs in the praise of Hashem will have 10 strings. So 10 times Hallel to correspond to the 10 strings of the instrument of the Yemos HaMashiach, 8 times in the third Halukah to correspond to the instrument that David had in this world. Okay, now, before we get into the parak itself, let's just talk about what exactly is going on. Who is this referring to? What is this parak about? So the Ibn Ezra, we're going to use a lot of Ibn Ezra tonight because Ibn Ezra really brings this parak together in a very beautiful way. So the Ibn Ezra says, "V'zeh ha-mishorer im ha-levim yidaber." The person speaking here, the mishorer, the poet, is speaking to the levim. Shehem mishorim bin nevalim v'chol minim nigunim. Because the Levim would play their instruments and they would sing. He's encouraging them, let's praise Hashem together. Now, pay attention to the structure of the Mizmor, because the call to praise in different parts of our Perek is not uniform. We're not going to address all of this tonight, because sometimes you will see that the word Hallelujah is speaking to the one who is praising. And sometimes you will see in our Perek that the word Hallelujah is speaking to the thing you are praising with. So sometimes the word Hallelujah, you have to understand, is this talking about the thing I'm praising with, or is it talking to the thing that I am praising? Let's jump into the first line. Hallelu kel b'kodsho, Hallelujah b'yirkia uzo. The Ibn Ezra, in line with his approach, says this is the Beis HaMikdash. Hallelujah amar Rabbi Moshe b'kodsho hashamayim. So let's do Rabbi Moshe first, then we'll do the Ibn Ezra. He quotes an earlier commentary, Rabbi Moshe. Halua b'kadsho means in the heavens. Bekacha beraki uzo kmo v'uzo b'shachakim. That it's praising in the heaven, other realms of the heavens. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, but he quotes the author of the Kuzari. Haluka b'kadshohu b'kadsho v'atam hadava hadvir v'aichal. This refers to the Beis HaMikdash, that we're praising Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. Would be a kuzo hu Aaron. This is praising Hashem in front of the Aaron in the Beis HaMikdash. The Radak comments that the sanctuary of B'kodsho refers to the most sublime celestial level, the abode of the Malachim who surround the Kisei HaKavod. Then Halu Birkia Uzo, in that the Rakia, in the other place of the heavens, are the levels of the stars and the constellations. So according to this approach, Halu refers to the places where the praises take place, or the levels of those who are praising. And those are in the place of Kadsho or Birkia Uzo. So again, we have two understandings here. Either it refers to Shemayim or refers to the praising taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. Ibn Yahya, Rabbeinu Ibn Yahya, who's one of the earliest Mefarshim on Tehillim, so he writes that the Meshorer, the poet, he refers to the highest level of Malachim as Kedoshim, and there are four levels of individual praising. There's Kadsho, there's Birkia Uzo, there's Bigvuro Sav, and there's Kerov Gadlo. And these are Malachim, Mazalos, the constellations, earthly creations, and Am Yisrael. And the Perek then goes on to list the 9 instruments used. So these opening lines of this Perek are referring to what? In general, Begadol is referring to the different levels of people praising Hashem, different places of the Beis HaMikdash, different manifestations in Shemayim. That's what we're referring to over here. The Malbim has a totally different view. We're not going to really spend so much time on the Malbim's view. It's very, very different than everybody else. The Malbim says that essentially our Perek is breaking praises into 2 categories. Hillel Aleph, Shalu Bekadsho, Hainu Lefi Anhaga Bekodesh Lamal Min Hateva. Sometimes we praise Hashem for acting Lamala Min Hateva, above nature. Shehi Anhaga Adeh HaMalachim Shem Kadsho. That's Malachim, the area of Kadsho, the holiest realms. And Beis is Halu Birki Uzo. She Anhaga HaSudura Adeh HaRakia. That's like this world, the heaven, the skies, the sun, the moon, the stars, things like that. And the Malbim understands that this parak is simply divided into 2 sections. Are we praising Hashem, lamala min hateva, or are we praising Hashem for teva itself? But we're not going to spend so much time in the Malbim's approach. Okay, now, halu bigvuro sav, halu kerov gadlo. The Ibn Ezra says that our praise of Hashem is in how we speak of his power. Halu bigvuro sav, and the Radak also explains that Hashem is often found it necessary to perform mighty acts for the sake of Bnei Yisrael. Halu bigvuro sav, says the Radak, Shehera lahem mikol ha'am, that he did something very mighty for the Jewish people to demonstrate that Bnei Yisrael are his chosen nation. Halu karov gadlo, says the Radak, shisgadel v'hiskadesh ba'amim al gulasam, that a new dimension of godless of Hashem, of greatness, will be revealed when he finally redeems us from galus. The Ibn Ezra says, halu karov gadlo, hatam, halu harbe kasher gadulasa rabba. The Ibn Ezra says that the praise one offers to Hashem should be in proportion to the abundant greatness. Halu kirov gadlo. If you receive however much godless, however much greatness you receive from Hashem, you should praise him that much. If Hashem did you a big favor, so give him big praise. If Hashem did you a small favor, so give him small praise. It should be in proportion to what he reveals and what Hashem exercises in this world. And the Malbim continues in approach, you know, whether it's Malbim Teva or Teva, but we're not going to stay so much on that. Let's move on now to the main part, which is the instruments, okay? Halu b'seka shofar, halu b'nevel v'chinor. Now, before we get into the instruments, and we try to define what they are, and it's not so clear how to define what they are, but we're going to try to define some of them. So we're going to go through now, in a moment, nine different instruments. That's what this parak lists, nine different instruments that are used to praise Hashem. Let's just read the Al-Shech first. The Al-Shech writes in his Perush on Tehillim called Romamus Kel, and he says as follows, Halu b'teka shofar, praise with the shofar, shemorer achakem bo l'shuv edyo, that it awakens a person, awakens you to return to Hashem. Shaydei kach tizku umahaluhu b'nevel b'chinor. And then I'll be zocha to praise Hashem with the nevel and the kinor, b'chol minim and all these things, asher yazkir, shukulam nimtzayim b'chag v'simchas beis ha-shoeva. The Al-Shech says that all of these nine instruments were found in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Titznan, v'alavim b'kinoros v'nevelim v'mitzalesam v'chatzosos v'kleishir. And if you look in the Mishnah in Sukkot, it explains, it shows you many of the instruments were there. Below Mispar, without end, Elishaba David. David came, v'sidran, and he organized it. Eich yashiru b'ofen roi l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does one praise Hashem properly? V'hushitzarich yichna adam l'fnei kono. A person needs to be humble before his creator, shi'agil b'rada, to rejoice with trembling. Al-kach b'tchil yascha b'nevel v'chinor, shikolam namuch. And it begins with these lower ones. So the Al-Shech understands that David HaMelech here is being specific in how to play the instruments. Each instrument that's being described in this parak, says the Al-Shech, is in a specific order. If you play the instruments in these order, it will raise a person and awaken a person to the proper, you know, service and relationship with Hashem, balancing instruments that inspire awe versus instruments that inspire love. You know, some instruments are overpowering and they get your attention, and some instruments are very sweet and they awaken a different part. And David is teaching us chachma, wisdom of music here. You would have to know, obviously, what these instruments are and how to play them, but says the Al-Shech, David is being very specific in which instrument comes first, which comes second in the order of these nine instruments. Let's begin. Take up b'shofar. What is the shofar here? So the Radak says the shofar. The shofar means the shofar like we have in Rosh Hashanah. And the Radak adds that chasotzros, that horns, are also included in this category as well. Both the Al-Shech and the Malbim indicate that the shofar is meant to inspire the person to tshuva and to awaken him initially there. What is a nevel? So the Ibn Ezra says it is a wind instrument that has 10 holes. And Rashi in Maseches Erechim says that it is nevel asui b'mapuach shel nefachim, umotzi kol de ruach. It's like everyone has a fireplace. You have this thing that you, with the wind, that you press it together and it causes the coals to, when you blow air into it, it causes the coals to jump up. Am I making any sense? No? Nobody has a fireplace? Yes, a fireplace? Anyway, some people do. Fine. So I forgot what it's called exactly, but you have this instrument. You blow air into the coals to get the coals to be, you know, to really ignite. So maybe we could suggest it's like an accordion, something like that, there was some sort of thing where it was an instrument that by pushing air together, it caused sound to be made. That's a navel, according to Rashi. Next line. Halu besof u'machol, halu benim v'ugav. Okay. A sof, says the Shulte Giborim, is a cymbal or some sort of a hand drum. A machol, says the Eitz Yosef, is a wind instrument, kind of like a flute. The word machol is like the word halal, that it's empty. A flute you can like see to the other end. So that is a flute, just like a machol is also a circle of people dancing. It represents that there's something empty in the middle. And minim is the Rosajagon and the Ibn Ezra say, it just means many different types of instruments that are not mentioned here, all playing the same tune. Minim, different types. The Radak and Rashi says that it's a type, the minim doesn't mean instruments, it means a specific type of instrument and we just don't know what it is. So the machlokas says minim mean like instruments in general, or does it mean a specific type of instrument that we just don't know how to identify? And then there's ugav. Ugav, we also are not sure what to do with that. Maybe some sort of wind instrument. Rabbeinu Bachya writes in Shmos, in Perek Lamed Beis, that the instruments here correspond to different planets in the solar system, and the experts of music know how to use these instruments and how to match the specific nature to the planets and the zodiac. But again, we're not holding at such a level to understand all those intricacies. Next, halu b'tzilzalei shama, halu b'tzilzalei surua. What are tzilzalei shama? So the Radak and the Ibn Ezra say that these are the same mitzalsim that are discussed in Divrei Hayamim in Perek Aleph. Essentially, it is two copper plates that you beat against one another like cymbals that you have like in an orchestra. That's what the Bartanura writes in his Perash HaMaseches Tamid, that tzilzalei shama are cymbals that you clap together. The Targum on our Pasuk disagrees, because the Targum says that tzilzalei shama is a single item. It's not two things that beat together, but it's one item. The Mishnah Maseches Erechim says that there was never more than one tzilzel in the band in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Targum seems to understand that it is another instrument that is a singular item that does not have a twin that it beats against. Okay? What are tzilzelei surua? So those are either small cymbals that are held in one hand. The Radak and the Masuda say that tzilzelei surua are chatzotros, they're horns that sound the trua in the Beis HaMikdash. So all different types of things being described here. Now, the Ibn Ezra makes a very beautiful comment about the identification of these instruments. He says, Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule in everything we've said so far. Ein derech ladas ela klei nigunim. He says, we can't really know what these things are. We're kind of just guessing. We're trying to figure out what it is. I think if you look like in an art scroll translation, they don't translate it. They just give the English spelling of the Hebrew words, because we don't really know what these things are. And the Ibn Ezra is very clear. We're just guessing to what these things are. He says, "Ki kelim l'nigunim harbe yimtzu be'eretz Yishmael." There's a lot of instruments that are played only in the Arab lands. V'anshei Edom lo rum. But European countries don't know what these instruments are. Ki gam yesh be'adom kelim. And European countries have their instruments. Lo shamum chachme Yishmael. And the Arabs never heard of those instruments as well. The music of different countries, says Ibn Ezra, is totally different. Different instruments, different scales, all different types of rules and music theory. And therefore, it's hard to know exactly which instrument or which music scale we're referring to here in Tehillim. Now, the Alshach and the Malbim both note that half the instruments, like we said before, are meant to evoke simcha, and half the instruments are meant to evoke yira and humility. And this is a fulfillment, like we said before, of gilu b'ra'ada. Half the instruments are meant to evoke this sense of tshuva and awe before Hashem with their sounds, and the other half are meant to evoke the feeling of simcha and ahava. Now we come to the most famous and the most important line. It's the last line in Tehillim. So clearly David HaMelech wants us to end off with a bang, with something very significant to take away. So the Radak says that after we've enumerated the many different instruments and the musical tones with which one praises Hashem, So the Meshorer, our poet, concludes that nothing can compare to the greatest instrument. And what is that? The Neshama. The Neshama is the greatest instrument to praise Hashem that we can offer Hashem. Because for the intelligent Neshama utilizes every human sense to discover the word, the wonders of Bria's Olam, and to appreciate his kindness. V'al kol ha-hilulim, says the Radak, who hill on Neshama. Above all types of instruments to praise is the Neshama. V'hu, hisponein b'maseh ha-kel yusparach b'idyoso. Because your Neshama can contemplate, think, understand, meditate, learn about Hashem. K'fi koach ha-neshama ba'oda b'guf. As according to whatever you do with the Neshama inside your body. Your Neshama, says the Radak, is an instrument to praise Hashem. The more you discover, the more you learn, the more you come to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then your Neshama becomes a greater instrument to praise Hashem. That's what it is. V'amar k'neged neshamos haluka. And therefore, he says, the Neshama is the thing that has the greatest praise. Now, the Ibn Ezra cites Rabbi Yehuda, who explains that the ikar way an instrument is played doesn't depend on the instrument, but it depends on the person playing the instrument. And that's an important lesson. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ba'avur hayos ha-minagein omer ni'imos al-hakinor. V'yishtanu ha-ni'imos kifi arichas ha-ruach v'kotzer ha-kol. When you're playing a string instrument, a wind instrument, a drum, your tone, the way you blow, the way you hit it, the way you breathe, that's what affects the change in sound in that instrument. Oh, gavo, so shiflus, so mihiras, how quickly, high or low, al-kak, and therefore, al-kain chasam, kol ha-neshamat al-ka. The instrument is just a tool. But what is the thing that is driving the instrument? It's your breath. It's you. Your neshama is what's driving it. The Rabbi Shlomo HaSfardi Amar, Shlomo the Sfardi said, he's a remez the neshama el yona shiva shemayim, refers to the neshama that's spoken of in shemayim. Okay. Now, we explained that kol ha-neshama tahal al-ka, that the neshama is the one that gives the greatest praise, is referring to those who are praising Hashem. Now, Chazal understood this to mean the neshama, meaning not that you, but the neshama is the reason for rejoicing. Why do we rejoice? Because we have a neshama. That's how Chazal understand this to mean. They understand the sentence to mean kol ha-neshama ta'alka ha-liyo. I am praising Hashem because I have a neshama. Let's look at the Medrash. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabba, Rav Levi b'shem Rav Chanina Amar, al kol neshima u'neshima sh'adam no-shem. That every single breath that you breathe, tzarech l'kalei sabare, you should be praising Hashem. For every moment that your heart is beating, and every moment that you can breathe in and out, you should be praising the Kadosh Baruch Hu. My time, and what's the reason? Kol ha-neshama ta'alka, kol ha-neshima ta'alka. So the Medrash understands neshama to mean breath, not soul. But in every breath that you take is a gift from Hashem. Every breath that you take should be an opportunity to praise Hashem. That's what the Medrash says. Look at the Medrash in Tehillim, in Perek Samach Beis. Mahu tahalel ka. What does that mean? Kol shav v'shav shehi ola v'yaredes begufo. As your breath rises and falls inside your body, un chayav lo halu, you have to praise Hashem, she'os seplosimeno. It's a wondrous miracle that you're breathing and your heart is pumping and your lung is taking in air and taking in the oxygen. Every breath requires praise of Hashem. Look at the Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Gimel. This is actually halacha. Amar Mar Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav. Minayin shemevarchan al hareach. How do you know you make a bracha when you smell something nice? The Samim, right? By Havdalah. We don't really do it so much during the week, but you know, we make smell certain things, we're supposed to make a bracha. Shne Amar, kol ha-neshama tahal el ka. Eiza davar shan neshama nenes mimenu, vein ha-guf nehanem mimenu. What does it mean the neshama praises? Of your five senses, what is the thing that only the neshama senses, but the body doesn't really get a geshmak from, but the neshama does? Havi omer zahareach, that's the sense of smell. When you smell something pleasant, that goes to your neshama. That's your neshama enjoying it. It's not the guf. It's an otherworldly experience to breathe something pleasant, and therefore it needs it as a praise. Now, let's just bring this all together. We've said up until this point that the opening lines of this final parak of Tehillim speak to the different levels or places or quality of praising Hashem. It then goes on to list 9 different types of instruments that are can be used to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically in those orders, as we pointed out. And then we said the greatest instrument or the greatest thing to praise for is the neshama. The Zohar HaKadosh writes the following. I brought for you from the translation of the Perush HaSulam on the Zohar HaKadosh. Let's see what it says here. Od Amar Rabbi Elazar. All these different types of praises. Shoel, the Zohar asks, Hashem needs you to play a guitar. Hashem needs you to play the drums. Hashem needs you to play a recorder. What does Hashem need this for? That you can play an instrument, whether you can get on the piano and play, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb or, you know, Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin. Like, that's going to impress HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Gemara, Umeshiv, the Gemara answers, Ela Amar David, Kol ma shetish b'chul lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be'elu minei zemer. He says, all of these things that are praised before Hashem with these types of zemer, eino klum. They're nothing before Hashem. Ka'adam ha'omer l'chavero, it's like a person who tells his friend, Ata says zevezeh, you, now go and do this. V'kol ma shetaseh eino klum ma shetaseh davarponi. But, Until you do this thing, all those other things are meaningless. Until you really do this last thing. Kach Amar David. So too says David. Halu b'tziltzei shema, halu b'tziltzei srua. Praise Hashem with all these different instruments. Kolomar. Ein zehil shalo. This is not for Hashem. Elamahu ilula. What is the greatest praise of Hashem? Ukol ha'neshama tal kahaluya. It's when the neshama praises Hashem. That is really the best praise. V'hilul achar einu klum. All other praises are nothing compared to the praise that your neshama gives to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Elohil ha-neshama. Zeshakasav called neshama ta'alaka hallelujah. Meaning, the entire mizmor is a hakdama to this last pasuk. That's all it is. The entire 6 verses of this chapter, the first 5 are just an introduction to get to the last line. The last line is, that all the types of instruments are not equal to the most beloved praise and the most beloved instrument, and that's when the neshama praises Hashem. There are 9 instruments that we have available to praise Hashem with, and the holiest is the 10th, which is the kol ha-neshama. And that's how the Zohar understands this parak. All of these things are telling you, okay, that's very nice, and this is very good, and this is okay, and this is very beautiful. But it's nothing. It's zero to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, until a person prays with their neshama. Then when a person puts the neshama into it, that makes everything worthy in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, good.